The Rights to Ricky Sanchez podcast is presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. Download their top-rated app and use promo code RTRS. And brought to you by SeatGeek. Get 20%, nope, not 20%, but $20 off your first purchase. $20 off your first purchase with promo code RTRS. Big Barker Therapeutic Dog Beds. Get yours at bigbarker.com/Ricky. And Stateside Urban Craft Vodka, the sponsor of the Corner 3 newsletter. Go to statesidevodka.com. On the show today, another year, another draft. Not really as crazy as anyone had planned or hoped or anything, but the Sixers come out of it just with three picks and drafting three different players. So we'll talk about those players, whether they're going to be on the Sixers or not. As well, Russell Westbrook gets traded to the Lakers. Maybe that changes the Brad Beal calculus. And then a bunch of Ben Simmons trades, proposals that seem a little crazy from Daryl Morey. Before we get started, I mentioned Stateside Vodka is one of our sponsors. The Stateside Vodka sodas sold out because they were so popular, which is amazing. So I am told they will be back on the website within 1 week. So you'll be able to get the party pack of Stateside Vodka sodas within 1 week. Remember, they are gluten-free, no added sugars, no artificial flavors, no artificial sugars, nothing like that. But while you're waiting, you could just get some of that regular Stateside Vodka. Go to statesidevodka.com. Your first purchase always gets a free rocks glass. Must be 21. Without any further ado, Amos and the chef.
Larry, sweetie, the man is here.
We were right, y'all.
Right, y'all.
We were right.
We were right.
Even when it went wrong,
oh,
we were right.
We were right.
We was right, y'all.
We were right.
We were right. So
say the name.
Say the name. We were right, y'all.
Right,
we were right.
We were right.
Even when it went wrong, we were right. We were right, y'all.
We were right.
We were right. So say the name.
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 Welcome to the Rights to Ricky Sanchez podcast. I'm Spike Eskin, along with the Philip Pietrusev of the Rights to Ricky Sanchez. That is Mike Levin. Good evening.
Right before this podcast started, you said, I don't anticipate this being a long one. And I don't know why you have to learn a lesson every year, but you're wrong. We're doing 6 hours on Charles Bassey and Philip Pietrusev. It's very
well, maybe
exciting.
You are.
For me.
Maybe you
can
are.
Take a nap. You can nap on screen. I wake up to do this podcast at 7 a.m. sometimes, and I'm sleeping during the pod. So you can just lie down. You got a bed right there. So
not
nice.
Not exactly the same thing.
Lay right not down. Exactly. Just rest your head. I got it covered. We got me. CJ will pop in if I need to take a water break. We are good. Very exciting. Very exciting night. Love the draft. And they after you know, buying the 53rd pick for $2 million, which first of all, very nice to see. Very nice that they're spending all the money that their owners have and buying multi-tens of millions of dollars in a Miami mansion. It's nice that they're spending money on a pick. I think that's good.
I kind of wonder why they do that. I wonder if it's because it's another maybe unguaranteed contract they could, I don't understand the purpose of them buying the pick. There must be something behind that. It can't just be, we love the back end of this draft. There has to be something else.
I think it was, let's set the market for how much it's going to cost to buy into this draft so that somebody at whatever, somebody doesn't think that they can go get the guy that they want for like, 2.5 million at like 32 or something like that. And so if they wanted it, they would have to then deal with the Sixers at 28 if they were going to make that trade. That would my guess is that they didn't, if they wanted to like rule that out. So people would have to come like up their offer to them as far as like prospects or players go or anything. No other picks got bought. It was just that one earlier today. So I thought that was interesting. But Dallas stays put and makes those three picks. Doesn't look like there's any other. We're still recording this as the draft is currently going. A couple more picks left, but it looks like that they're going to keep it. And it's an exciting time. It's an exciting night I'm back. We're back. I'm smiling again. We have some version of the penguin right here next to us.
No, it doesn't look like a penguin. You got to be
quite as much.
No, it just looks like a person.
No, it's
like, looks like fucking you.
But
so
it's good.
The Sixers take. So we'll go through the players the Sixers took, and then I want to ask you about the top of the draft a little bit, then to Westbrook and the Simmons stuff. So the Sixers take Jaden Springer at 28 from Tennessee, who is like one of the youngest players in the draft, right? 18
yep.
years old, which...
Yeah, he turns 19 in a few months, yeah.
So I like I guess I don't even want to really get into whether he'll be on the team or not. We've been burned in years before by players that were both on our big boards that we both like that didn't end up on the Sixers. And of course, the Sixers have moves to make. But tell us about Springer.
Yeah, I had him number 8 on my board. He's awesome. He's as you said, one of the youngest guys in the draft class. He's 6'4". He is a true combo guard. His big calling card is defense, but that doesn't mean his offense is nothing. He really has like good, he really profiles as a nice 3-and-D guard. I think of him like George Hill, if George Hill had like a lot more ball skills,
and was alive.
Yeah. I mean, like other comps, I was just thinking about comps for him as the course of the draft. Cause I was really hoping that he would fall to them and they would get him, like a modern Andre Miller, I think is an interesting way to think of him. There's some Drew Holiday to his game for sure. But he's super young. He's got a lot of room to develop. He shot well from three at Tennessee, but on very few attempts. It wasn't because he's not like known as a shooter, but I think he's a good catch and shoot player. He has to work on his shooting off the dribble. But Tennessee was just a really bad shooting team this year. They had very few like legit, you know, scary shooters for the defense to run out on. And they were one of the worst shooting teams in the SEC, well into like 200s in the nation, both in percentage and volume. And so it wasn't like he had a lot of open looks because they just weren't worried about any other guys from the outside. So the thing that excites me most about Springer, obviously the defense, he's really thick. I think I mentioned in the draft preview podcast that he had like a Kyle Lowry ass type of thing, which is very exciting for me. He's very physical. He doesn't get bumped off his spot either offensively or defensively. Can stick with guys bigger than him because he's got a low center of gravity. He's really strong.
Does it ever occur to you how like you're saying that about an 18-year-old person?
A little bit.
That you've never met.
Okay. I mean, it's worse. What's his name? Rob Delaney had a little sketch, not even a sketch, just a video where he read baseball scouting reports about like 15 and 16 year olds. It's really funny. And it's very odd how they're talked about for sure. But like in basketball, like having like a big ass is important and he uses it well. He uses it to create space. He uses it to get inside and bump people off their spot. He's an impressive player, and to be that crafty at that age, I think is a really useful tool. The thing that excites me offensively is his ability to like just get into like nooks and finish in traffic and sort of slice his way through. I think first of all, I think he really fits nicely with Tyrese Maxey. I think both of those guys, neither
okay,
of them.
Okay, good. So in like 2027.
No, I think they both are in the rotation right now. I think Maxey's probably the starter, and I think Jaden Springer and like Springer and Seth Curry is a nice.
What world are you living in? What when a team that is competing for a title next year is playing an 18-year-old guard in?
He'll be 19, but Maxey played. Maxey was a big part of the rotation.
He wasn't a big part of the rotation. He barely played in the second half of the year, and then was in and out in the playoffs. And like, and they also lost in the second round. Like, there's no way this guy's going to be in the rotation right away.
I think he certainly has the ability to get in there because he plays defense. He plays hard. Maxey wasn't a good defender coming in, and improved himself over the course of the season. I mean, you know how good Maxey was and how valuable he was to the team. I think Springer is a different kind of player, but when you draft two guys in the first round in back-to-back years and they're both guards, you want to know if they can play together. And I'm saying that I think they can. And as far as like catch and shoot goes, as far as getting into the rim, a couple of good guys that I like just got drafted. He's just like a very exciting player and an easy guy to root for and an easy guy. He plays hard. He's got a high motor. I saw a comp. Somebody compared him to Dennis Johnson for the olds who listen to this podcast. And the other thing that's really exciting about him is that he's so physical that he seeks out contact and he gets fouled. He had one of the highest foul drawing rates of any guard in the country or in the draft class. And for him to be that at his age and also play defense, it's just really exciting. It's a really exciting package. I think like what is his ceiling is really exciting, but how much he can get better as a ball handler. He's a solid ball handler, but not like crazy dynamic with the ball. He's pretty much like a straight line drive and can slash a little bit. He has nice like little jump stop slicing in between guys. But I'm excited to see him play with alongside other shooters. I think him and Seth is an interesting backcourt at times. His cousin is DeAndre Bembry, which is fun. Philly's own. He's a big favorite of friend of the pod, Brian Schrader, who we had on a couple years ago. Really, really likes him a lot. And I'm a fan. I just think he's really good. I think that he came in as the, 12th ranked prospect in the nation and then played for Rick Barnes at Tennessee, who is just not a good coach. I really don't know why he keeps getting jobs, but he performed. He is just like a really solid two-way guard. I think he profiles as just an NBA player for a long time and a very useful player. I think probably quicker than his age would indicate. I'm excited. I'm happy about it.
So they took two guys in the 50s, 50 and 53, Philippe Petrusev and Charles Bassey. We'll talk about that in a second. But before we do, let me ask you a question. Maybe the team that you follow, maybe they use one predatory secondary market website to sell their tickets that's super confusing. And then, before the next season, they get rid of the CEO, they use a different confusing ticket reselling website. Don't you wish ticket buying was easy instead of predatory and confusing? Well, SeatGeek does that. That's right, SeatGeek. It's the best app to buy tickets because it's not confusing. What SeatGeek does is it takes all of the tickets from all of the secondary websites, that puts them all in one place and tells you what a good deal is and what a good deal isn't. I mentioned the last time, yes, I got Limp Bizkit tickets for Irving Plaza in New York, but a coworker of mine at IP was looking for Harry Styles tickets at the Wells Fargo Center and was super frustrated at trying to find tickets. I told him, download the SeatGeek app. He does. What they do is they rate the deals on a scale of 1 to 10. And for those of you who don't like numbers or can't count, they also use color codes to show you whether a deal is good. So a red deal is overpriced, yellow deal is green deal is really good. SeatGeek, 50,000 five-star reviews, over 50,000 on the Apple the App Store. 50,000, over 50,000 five-star reviews, and we have $20 off for you. So if you are a new user, use code RTRS, $20 off tickets at SeatGeek, $20 off your first purchase at SeatGeek, promo code RTRS. If you don't want to download the app, that's okay. Just go to SeatGeek.com. Otherwise, download the app, and again, use promo code RTRS for $20 off. That is SeatGeek, so you don't have to use predatory secondary selling websites that confuse you, that your own team supports you with, that your own team supports. You can just use SeatGeek. Okay, back to, two-way deal.
Yep.
See that? We'll get to that in a second. Okay. All right, at 50, Philippe Petrusev, 7 foot. I was looking at him. Is he a center though? A center by name? Okay. Was the Adriatic League MVP last year, I think, or something like that. So, he's your stretch five. There you go. He'll be in the rotation too, right?
I like him.
Is he even coming over?
We're figuring it out. But Mike Schmitz reported that he wants to come over now. This was hit what he was hearing prior to the draft, but then Rich Hoffman had a sourced report saying he's going to be a stashed player. Okay. Which is good. And I think that's solid. Petrusev played at Gonzaga for 2 years. He's Serbian and he came over, played high school basketball at Montverde Academy, familiar. And then played 2 years at Gonzaga, one year as a backup, and then the second year as a starter, led the team in scoring, averaged like 17 and 8, but it was mostly through like inside, little hook shots, little moves in around the rim. This was in 2019, 2020. And then was flirting with going with the draft and just decided to go pro, went to the Adriatic League and played basketball for our old friends at Megalex. You familiar? Remember?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Who was at Megalex? Was it Luau. TLC?
Luau. Yeah. I don't know other guys. Yeah. Dario was also there. And then over the course of that year, he drastically improved his outside shooting. He shot 42% from three on three attempts per game, and scored 24 points per game, eight rebounds and a couple blocks in here and there. So just seemed to have gotten significantly better as an offensive player and diversifying his game offensively. He is a good rebounder, but defensively is lacking. This is why if he was better, he would have gone in the first round. But the defense is where he struggles. He's pretty slow. You don't want him defending the perimeter. But as a legit stretch five guy who's young and has shown the ability to get better, and now if it's especially it's going to be a stash, I think he's just a really solid pick at 50. And has really nice touch around the rim. And I think if he keeps getting bigger, works on his body, does all the, you know, tries to become more useful as a defensive player. He seems to have good instincts as a rebounder, knack for the ball. It's a good pick. And I like that they're stashing. And when was the Sixers haven't stashed a guy in a really long time. So I'm super happy about it.
Yeah. I'm trying to think when the last stash was, and we still have that guard, right? Who's that guard from 17 years ago? The Hinkie guy?
Mitchish? No, he's gone.
Yeah. Oh, is he?
Yeah.
Okay. What happened? Why is he gone?
What trade was he in? People are yelling at us knowing right
now. Yeah. I'm sorry.
It was right. In the Thunder trade. It was in the Horford trade.
Okay. So at 53, they take Charles Bassey. Who's that?
So Charles Bassey is, he played 3 years at Western Kentucky. He came in actually as the ninth ranked player in his class. So it was a pretty big surprise in 2018 when he declared for Western Kentucky. He played his high school ball in Kentucky. He transferred at some point. But he's originally from Nigeria. He's a big dude. He's very strong, very physical, really similar to a Dan Gafford type who was like a screen and roll lob threat. Gafford is a better perimeter defender. Bassey's a little bit slower in that area. But
how big is his ass, do you think? Like,
I say he's pretty big ass, relatively large ass for a center. He's a really, really good rebounder. He's an excellent shot blocker. Kind of does is the outline of a Dwight Howard at this point in his career type. Like screen and roll, rebound, doesn't try to do too much. The thing that's exciting about Charles Bassey, because he does have an NBA body, and does all the things you want a big man to do, is he also has improved his 3-point shooting as well. Like Petrushev, he shot 31% from three on 59 attempts this year, which is not that many attempts, but over three seasons, he was a career 77% from the line over 3 years, over like 300 some foul shots. And so that's, if you're looking at that, you're thinking like, we can get him in, we can work with that shot. And that's exciting. I definitely don't mind getting two potential stretch fives and go like somebody, one of these guys is going to turn into something of an NBA player. And I think they both have possibilities, and especially with like how weak the Sixers were from the backup center situation in the playoffs and in the past years, obviously, it's just, I definitely don't mind going into camp and going like, hey, somebody take the job. You all have the chance to do it. Let's see whose skills win out. I still think I'd prefer B-ball Paul as a prospect over these guys, but I like them joining the mix. And if Bassey's on a 2-way or like last spot in the rotation, I'm totally happy with it.
Well, if Bassey comes in at 77% free throw, give him to us for a couple of years and we'll get him right down to 52.
Yeah. 52, we can get that down to 52, no problem, for sure. Yeah.
So then we just got a note, and this is when after the second round ends, the undrafted guys. So the Sixers agree to a 2-way deal with Michigan State's Aaron Henry.
Yes.
So who's that?
Aaron Henry is a wing. He is 6'6", lefty, prototypical like college wing. He was the guy a couple years ago after his freshman, during a March Madness game. He was a freshman at the time, who got like visibly screamed at by Tom Izzo. It became like a somewhat of a sensation where like people were calling out like, coaches shouldn't do that and whatever. Aaron Henry came out and said like, it's fine, we have a good relationship, like I don't mind being coached like that, whatever it is. He's a good player. He was a good player on a good Michigan State team that was like the Cassius Winston, Xavier Tillman team. And I think people were hoping, I was certainly hoping, that he would take a leap forward in his sophomore junior season. He didn't really do that. He obviously had more of a role, but never like vaulted himself into a high status player, but is a really good guy to get on a two-way. Has an NBA body, has a decent looking jump shot, shot, you know, 33% from three for his career, 73% from the line. I think he's going to be a fine catch and shoot player. I think he absolutely has a chance to make a roster and eventually be a rotation player, because his assist numbers are pretty good. He rebounds a little bit. He blocks a little bit, kind of just does a little bit of everything. He's not excellent in any department, but like, he's a basketball player. And if he works on his jumper and he works on his defense, he plays his ass off, I think he absolutely could play some minutes this season and any season. Mike, and get better. I love it.
My contribution to this is, believe it or not, I work with a guy at WFAN and his name is Tom Izzo. And
that's funny.
When my boss sent me an email, he's like, hey, connect with our video guys, Tom Izzo.
Yeah,
I've never heard anybody else named Tom Izzo. Like,
I imagine not a very common name. This is me thinking about Aaron Henry stuff on the fly. So I'm trying to see anything else if I'm forgetting any other parts of his game. But he's 21, which is not super old to be like a potential 3-and-D guy. It's just like, these are the chances you take. Like, these are the kinds of guy you want them like taking a swing on, and the Sixers were certainly light on potential like multi-positional defenders who could have like a big body and stuff. And so if he ends up improving his game and getting better, like, that'd be a nice bench piece for the future.
So at the top of the draft, and I couldn't remember totally that, you know, the first three picks go pretty chalk with Cunningham, Green, and then Mobley. Barnes, when it happened, it looked like a surprise. Was it a surprise that he went four? I couldn't remember
Scotty
what
Barnes?
We talked about. Yeah.
Definite surprise.
Okay.
It was very projected to be Jalen Suggs. It was Scotty Barnes coming up as high as he was, even he was being projected at five a lot, was, I think, pretty shocking for me. I like Scotty. He is one of the most electric personalities in the draft, just an entertaining guy. I can tell why he like won teams over in interviews and stuff. Plays his ass off, is a big body. I think Toronto could use him as like a five that can switch over everything and be enough of a shot blocker. Maybe. I find it a little weird that they drafted him that high when they recently signed OG Anunoby to a contract, because they are somewhat similar players. Anunoby, I would say, is probably better on defending guards, and Scotty is probably better a little bit. Scotty's probably like 2 through 5, and Anunoby's probably like 1 through 4 as far as defensive versatility goes. Anunoby has worked himself into being a better shooter. It just seems like a weird fit to those things. And obviously, combined with the Toronto trade rumors with Simmons, and there being like, you know, there was the report that Darryl asked for everyone on their team and everyone in the city of Toronto. But I think the report was Van Vliet, Anunoby, and four.
Like, yeah, four and first round picks.
And a number.
Well, I don't know, four, yeah.
Number four, and I think a couple other picks, which is obviously.
Oh, no, I think it was Lowry, too. I thought it was Lowry.
Which is very, very bizarre. Maybe it wasn't Van Vliet. It couldn't have been Lowry and Van Vliet.
It was Lowry, Van Vliet, Anunoby, and four.
That's very wild. But, you know, I like that Darryl's asking for everything. Keep asking. Why not? We got time. We can keep asking for whoever it is. But that pick to me looked like you are not committed to Anunoby, because, I mean, maybe I'm reading into it too much, or wanting to be reading into it too much, because I would love Anunoby on the Sixers. I've loved him for forever. You've obviously been a huge Og fan since you've heard about him. But I they'll be very cool. So I'm hoping that is a possibility, that it ends up being some combination of Lowry Anunoby or Van Vliet Anunoby coming here in a situation. But he's also the flip side of that is Scotty Barnes is not like a perfect fit with Simmons. He played point guard. He played some point guard at FSU and like isn't an excellent shooter and doesn't have a ton of moves with the ball in his hands from the perimeter. So I don't know that those guys fit either. So it might just be they think of him as a center and a switchable, like, short roll guy. But an interesting pick for sure, because everyone had Jalen Suggs there. And I was excited about Jalen Suggs there. Even if Lowry left, Van Vliet Suggs is a really, really cool 1-2. And I guess if they trade Van Vliet, then Lowry Suggs would have been a cool 1-2. But
yeah, my guess is Ujiri looks at Toronto and says, like, not that they're completely starting over, but I think, like, he's erasing the whiteboard on what they are.
And that's what I think too.
Thinking pretty open on what they could be. And maybe he's not like, I'm definitely keeping this guy or definitely keeping that guy, but he's thinking more, I'll keep one of them, you know? And if a great deal for a current star comes around, we'll go that way. And if a great deal for a young player comes around, we'll go that way. So I think that's probably my guess on Toronto.
Yeah. But I think, like, if you look at, before we get into the rest of the draft, just like looking at the Sixers draft as a whole, like, defense again, prioritizing defense in all four guys they've gotten, except for all three of the four guys they've gotten so far, Petrushev, and more versatility in Springer and Henry than they've had on the team, of guys that are like, you can't play him on this end, or he's weak on this end. It's just like a little bit more like can do a bunch of stuff guys, rather than, they're exposable on this side or that side.
Right. Well, before we get to the other draft and then the Westbrook trade and then the Simmons rumors, we'll tell you about our presenting sponsor. That is DraftKings Sportsbook. Man, we love them. We love them. Let me tell you about free pools. Like, DraftKings Sportsbook, that's where I bet. Yeah, it's where you bet, but you also can play for free. We have those games in Tokyo going on right now. You know, the games in Tokyo. And every day they have free pools and a free shot at $5,000 in total cash prizes. That's $5,000 up for grabs. And like I said, it's free. You're like, but I bet, yes, you can bet there, but also play for free. Easy to enter. Just download the DraftKings app. And right on the front, like, I have my phone here, I was looking at it just so I could make sure before we got going where it was right on the front, the very first thing, right in the middle, says pools. Go to free pools and there's free contests all over there. What's a free pool? Well, you just answer questions. What do you think is going to happen in this game? What do you think is going to happen in that game? And the people that finish at the top, they win stuff. Very easy, safe, secure, reliable, based here in the US. So you deposit your money, goes right into DraftKings Sportsbook, like, in seconds. You withdraw whenever you want. You get your money almost right away. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code RTRS. When you sign up, get your free shot at up to $5,000 in total cash prizes every day of the gold medal games. Again, that is the DraftKings pools page to get your shot at huge cash prizes. That's promo code RTRS for a limited time. Only at DraftKings. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. So that leaves Suggs. Suggs go to five with Orlando, and that seems like a win for them. Like,
value wise, I know they're such an interesting team, man. There's so many collection of young guys with so much overlapping skills and weaknesses. You know, Cole Anthony, Markel Fultz, now Suggs, and then also like RJ Hampton, who they traded for during the season, and Chuma and John Isaac, and they got Franz Wagner, and they also have Wendell Carter and Mo Bamba. It's just like a bunch of weird, interesting things, and they're rebuilding and they're figuring out what works, but super interesting. I think they're happy with Jalen Suggs. Definitely Jalen Suggs is like such a winning player, and I think that's as far as like a two-way guy who's also a winning player. Like, he's not going to be the best player on any team that's contending, but I think that's him and starting from a place of like one of Cole Anthony or Markel Fultz becoming a good player, maybe. Suggs is going to be good for sure. John Isaac, if he stays healthy, is going to be really good. Chuma is a stretch guy. I like Wendell Carter. Like, there's a bunch of pieces there. I have no idea what it's going to become, but I thought they had a really good top of the draft for sure.
Josh Giddey is a very Oklahoma City Thunder pick right now. I thought, I thought like the Mitchell pick for the Kings was like sort of interesting, given, I mean, what I know about him and then what I know about, what's his face? The point guard.
De'Aaron Fox.
De'Aaron Fox. Like, it doesn't seem like they would be a play together, right? Because Mitchell's kind of small and Fox is kind of small. Like, there have been Fox rumors. I don't know. Did that strike you?
I was going through this draft reading, you know, narcissistically thinking everything was about us as the Sixers, as the team, being like, okay, well, they did this. That means it's De'Aaron Fox coming to Philadelphia. I think that the thing that's been prioritized, and you've been talking about this for a long time as regards to the Sixers, but like, I think it's been prioritized going back from like Lowry and VanVleet a couple years ago succeeding to Trae Young being so successful, and Booker and Paul, although Milwaukee was a little bit different. Like, it's just guys being like, you need a bunch of guys that can do things with the ball and that can handle the ball, that can get plays with the ball. It is less important to have like traditional, like, this guy's the point guard, this guy is the two guard. You need guys that can make plays on the ball and get places with the ball in their hands. And if you don't have enough of them, Sixers didn't, then you're gonna have a tough time succeeding. And so I think that because Fox and Davion Mitchell are both good players who play their asses off, I think they could play together. They could find a way. And I think that Tyrese Halliburton is big enough and smart enough to be able to be to roll three guard lineups out there together.
Well, and just to interrupt for, I mean, the team that beat us in the playoffs this year, we're playing Lou Williams and, Trae Young at the same time.
For sure. So, I mean, Davion's just he's going to work his ass off. He's going to be a good kid. I think that there were better options for them there, but it's at least hitting a single there because he's going to play his ass off. And between him and Tyrese Halliburton, who are another guy who's just a winner, they're going to start winning games just because they have guys who give a shit.
I thought too, even though I just learned who he was last week, I decided I really, really like, I think, what did I have him two on my big board? Chris Duarte, like, going 13 seemed like a pretty huge leap for him, given where he looked like he was going a couple weeks ago compared to this one. You know,
you mean that's low for him or high for him?
No, high. It seems high.
Yeah.
Right.
The Warriors were definitely going to take him at 14, 100%. I'm surprised they got Warriors had a great draft. I mean, Kuminga, who knows? I think they're going to probably just try to say, like, whatever other guy we get between Kuminga and Wiseman, like, we're just going to package them together. I doubt Kuminga plays maybe even a minute for them, but Moody's a great pick for them at 14. I loved him. I had him fifth on my board. He should start for them right away. Like, he should be the small forward for them immediately. He played on a stacked Montverd team, where he just basically had to be a catch and shoot guy and defend his position. And he also has some secondary ball handling. He's going to be like so good for that team. It's very unfair that Steph and Clay, if Clay's healthy, got him as well. But yeah, Indiana had a weird draft. I have to still like process all my thoughts together when I see like who actually got everybody and who left, but trading Aaron Holiday, who I guess they just didn't value as much as, TJ and Edmund Sumner, is interesting. They only moved up like a couple spots.
Remember, TJ is a free agent.
I think that means they're going to resign him. I don't think they would trade a backup point guard without thinking that they're going to resign the guy that they like. That'd be my guess. But Duarte is really good, and I think he's going to help that team. They're an interesting team. They have like just several guys between like Brogdon and LaVert and Jeremy Lamb and TJ Warren and LaVert. And now Duarte, like just like so many guys from like 6'4 to 6'8 who can just do a bunch of stuff. And then not to mention Miles Turner and Domantas Sabonis. If they end up becoming like a better coached team, there's a lot of interesting length there. And I'd be interested to see if they can like, you know, 2015 Hawks their way into being good enough. And then who knows? Otherwise, other teams that I thought had a great draft. I thought Houston had a great draft. Jalen Green at two was really cool, and that's a guy that they can build around. And then also trading up to get Alperen Şengün, and who is not good defensively, but a really, really special passer and shooter, and they want to turn him into the next, you know, type of Domantas Sabonis or Jokic type of overseas big man. But then pairing him with Usman Garuba from Spain, is who's the best defensive big man in the draft and most switchable, and also has a high motor, plays his ass off. It's a fun pairing there. Then they also swing and get Josh Christopher, who could be somebody. Just a good draft there. And I thought Charlotte had an awesome draft. I was really impressed with Charlotte. Kai Jones is really good and super talented and the kind of guy you'd want to pair with LaMelo as a pick and roll big who can do stuff on both ends. Fast as hell as a big man. He used to be a track athlete and then only started playing basketball at 15. And now he's a first round pick from the Bahamas. And I'm not a huge James Bouknight fan. I like him generally during the season. I thought he was a little bit higher, but he slipped a little bit. And then getting him there, I think, is a good fit. And I think the Hornets should, depending on what happens with their, you know, free agents or whatever, but like LaMelo, Bouknight, Hayward, Miles Bridges, PJ Washington, they traded for Plumlee, who's going to be fine. And then Kai Jones. Like, I think they're going to make some signings, but I think that might be they're definitely a play-in team next year, maybe better.
So the night starts off with, and this will sort of lead into the Sixer stuff. The night starts off with the rumors about, and this has been going on for a couple of days, about Westbrook going to the Lakers. I know this will sound like I always do this stuff with LeBron and be takey, but like my reaction when they were training for Westbrook is like, what a sad way for the end of LeBron's career to like happen, that they're just going, you know how we're going to fix it. We're going to get this fucking lunatic who was really good at one point, but now is just sort of a parody of himself. And we're going to make him play point guard for the Lakers. And that is what, like, there's no chance of them winning a championship with that guy playing point guard. I don't think. I think it's going to be, like, that has true disaster potential. Like, I think LeBron will get furious playing with Westbrook, won't he? I mean, it just seems like it's such a strange trade to me. I guess they had really limited things that they could do, but it just seems like another team with Russell Westbrook gets left off the hook and get something for him. They get a first-round pick and Kuzma and KCP. Was that the whole trade? Kuzma, KCP,
Montrez
and the first-round pick. Like, I don't know. Like, I just don't. I guess the Lakers had really few options, but I don't really see that working out all that well.
Yeah, I'm kind of a centrist about this trade. I don't think that they traded anything great. KCP was super helpful for them, but I think there's like scrap heap guys that they can get in that area. Kuzma was occasionally good, but then sort of fell off. Trez didn't want to be there and also was kind of unplayable a little bit. There's always the possibility.
It's the idea of putting Westbrook on the team. It's not what they traded.
No, of course. I think that putting Westbrook on this team could potentially, because I didn't think they were getting anybody else. They certainly weren't getting anybody super valuable, right? I think DeRozan was probably your best bet of guy that they could acquire. I don't think they were going to get Lowry. I certainly don't think they were going to get Chris Paul. Like, they just didn't have the money or prospects to get a player like that. And so I think Westbrook, compared to other things, and I do think he's probably, I think Schroeder kind of sucked for them. I'm not a Schroeder guy, although he had a good year that one year with OKC. I think that Westbrook raises their ceiling, but I also think he significantly lowers their floor. Like, I think there's a chance of it going really, really bad. And there's a chance that, like, sometimes when guys play with LeBron and Anthony Davis, they play better. Sometimes they choose to play better. Like, Russell Westbrook was horrendous on defense for the Wizards and I think also mostly for the Rockets, but he's played defense well in his career. And so if he does the like look in the mirror and like, okay, I'm on a real team, I'm on a championship contender, I have to play defense now. I'm not going to fall asleep off ball. Then maybe he does. And I think there's those kinds of good players can choose to turn it on or not during a season. The other thing, I've read through so many tweets today. I forget who said it, but Westbrook is a good regular season player. In the playoffs, struggles a lot and throws a wrench into things, and they're going to have spacing issues and all that stuff. But the value of allowing Westbrook and AD to win you some regular season games while LeBron saves his energy, I do think that there's value in that. And I think that he will just like provide a kick in the ass to a Lakers team that occasionally, at least this season, like needed a bunch of kicks in the ass. Like they struggled all season long. So they still got a lot of work to do getting a bunch of shooting. They just signed a couple of good undrafted free agents. Austin Reeves is going to help them. I think he'll be in the rotation as a two-way. Joel Ayayi is fine. He'll be an NBA rotation player for his career as like a 11th or 12th guy at some point. So they have work to do, but I think it could go pretty good. I think it could absolutely go really, really bad. Because we've seen how bad Westbrook can be, but he's also like, he also can be good. So we'll see. We'll see how, if he levels up his game with LeBron.
All right. So we'll talk about how this affects the Sixers right after. If you're watching on YouTube, look behind me. See that big bed? I'm in a hotel. It's not my bed. It's a big bed. You deserve to get your dog. Nice big fucking bed. Nice, comfortable, supportive bed. Said it once, said it a million times. You don't adopt a dog to not spoil it. Spoil it. Make sure your dog's healthy. Big Barker therapeutic dog beds. We got one this week. The dog's name was Samwell. I just thought it was fucking hilarious. Samwell is now a process pup. Samwell's mom accidentally threw out the process pup patches, but Samwell's dad wrote to Big Barker. They sent him two new process pup patches. You go to bigbarker.com/Ricky. That's where you get the Big Barker therapeutic dog bed that has been proven by Penn Vet to improve your dog's life, improve your dog's health. Joint pain goes down, joint function goes up, quality of life goes up. All that shit is true and it happens. Bigbarker.com/Ricky. Then you send us a picture like they did with Samwell and we put them in the process pup gallery. There's a 10-year warranty on this thing. So you're like, $200? How am I spending $200 on a dog bed? Well, because it's going to be a decade before you have to buy another one. And like I said, reduces wear and tear on younger dogs and increases mobility levels and energy in older dogs. Your dog is worth it. Your dog deserves it. Treat your dog right. A 1-year at-home trial. If you don't like it, they'll give you full refund. They'll even pay for the shipping. Handmade in the USA. Big Barker dog beds. So the original thought was when Westbrook got traded, everyone was like, oh, they're tearing it down in Washington. But then it came out, maybe Bradley Beal didn't love playing with Russell Westbrook. And now, shocking, I know. But now it seems like Beal, I don't even remember who reported it, but like that Beal is happy now in D.C. And I don't think that's surprising. Like, you know, I mentioned to Sharp one time. Recently, I said, you know, I have this theory about Beal and Lillard is that deep down, they're both pretty happy. They like the city that they live. They're sort of like a hero in the city that they live. They get to score 30 points a game. They make tons and tons of money. And like they know they should want to win and they probably do want to win, but like they would probably be fine staying where they were. And I definitely get that sense with Beal. And it doesn't seem to me like maybe he'll be on the table to be traded, but I wouldn't bet on it. Like if I had a bet, I would bet on Beal being on the Wizards this year. Like that's the Westbrook trade to me, I think means that Beal will be on the Wizards. Or I don't think it excludes Beal being on the Wizards, I guess I would say.
Yeah, maybe. I was certainly hoping that meant that they were tearing it down. I think that the haul that they got for Westbrook is not super inspiring. It seems like they just constantly have fours who can't really shoot that well on their team, just like all the time, just over and over again, just numerous fours. They spent a high pick on Danny Avdija last year, who is a four who can't shoot that well. Maybe this allows him to have the ball in his hands more. Rui Hachimura was a better player than I thought he'd be, and plays hard and is improving.
He looks pretty good sometimes. Hachimura.
He looks pretty good sometimes. I don't believe he really, really wants to. He's got the Tobias, like he would really prefer to take 19 footers type of jumper. But he's good. He's an NBA player for sure. Beal should want to leave. He should want to leave. He should be unhappy. He should be ready to move on. He is still young but he's been playing in Washington for a long time. And so it should be time for him to move on, but he doesn't, it seems like. I think they're going to say that like, we plan on keeping him. We want to keep him. We want to build around him until they don't. So maybe Beal, it's the kind of thing where he wants to go into this season and see.
He can opt out after this year. I mean, if they're going to trade him, they got to trade him like now.
Yeah,
I guess,
for sure. You know? So it could be a during the season type of thing. So
yeah,
I don't know. I don't know. I I don't believe any of the reports. Like, there was a report saying like him and KCP are actually really close friends. I'm like, who gives a shit? He can find friends anywhere. We got right, so many friends. Right. Got friends for days. He doesn't have friends in Philadelphia. What are we talking about? So I, that's less of a thing for me. I think it's, I was hoping that this trade made it more likely that he would be traded, but it turns out I think what it doesn't make a difference. I think there it is an even amount of will he be traded before or after the Westbrook trade. Because they're not going to be good this year. They're not going to be good. They're going to win, you know, 32 games, and maybe make the play in the East. Who knows? But he should want to go. And eventually, I think, well, here's the thing that I will say. Westbrook not being on the team anymore means that they can talk themselves into Simmons. You couldn't talk yourself into Simmons and Westbrook together. But now that Westbrook's out, then you could talk yourself into like, all right, we'll rebuild. We have this guy team controlled for a long time. Maybe Beal says, hey, I'm not going to sign here, trade me, so that they stay for, you know, they get four extra years out of it. They get another power forward who can't shoot. That's something that they like. So I think there's a possibility there, but I can talk myself into anything. So whatever.
It's Simmons with Kuzma and KCP. It's like the shitty Lakers. It's yeah, I guess you could talk to yourself. I hope so too. So that the Simmons stuff has gotten intense in that the rumors are such now, like it does feel like it's no turning back now. And I thought it was there, but it definitely seems there. There's the report that, you know, that Rich Paul and Ben Simmons are like, you know, thrilled and helping out or whatever. And then that Daryl talked to the Cavs and asked for every significant young player they have plus four draft picks. You mentioned the Raptors offer earlier. And then there was a Warriors one where it was like four firsts, three swaps and Wiseman or something like that.
And so Wiggins.
And Wiggins. So my, yeah, for salary, you got to do Wiggins. So my thought is going into this. Unfortunately, when I saw those, I was like, oh, this is like the long-term value setting portion of the Simmons, like that he's trying to repair value now with these sorts of things. And there's no way this trade is happening on draft night. So this will go on for a while, obviously.
I think there was still a chance that the trade happened tonight. I think I am so far as things that Daryl can do starting from the end of the season to now, very happy. I think that there's no reason the only leaks are the leaks about the Sixers are asking for a fuckload of shit, which is good. You'd rather that than the Sixers are happy with the Allen Iverson trade package from, you know, 06 or whatever it was. That sucks. We don't want that. We want to trade. We want to get, he should be asking for everything. He should be asking for the Harden trade. He should be asking for the Drew Holiday trade. Like, let's find a way to make that work. And if it gets closer to the season, then maybe you get worried about it. But the draft is one inflection point of when it could have happened. I think I'm sure some teams have talked themselves into the idea that they're going to get all these free agents.
Yep.
And then that's going to be huge. But a lot of them won't. A lot of them will not end up with the free agents they think they're going to end up with. And they'll have to sign some, you know, plan B, C, or D. But then it's a question of like, okay, if we sign those guys, then we can't trade them until like, you know, usually it's like December 15th or something like that. Then that becomes dicey. The offseason speeds up awful quickly after free agency. People are starting to like really look at the teams. But if somebody strikes out in free agency, I think it's certainly possible. It seems like he's engaging teams on a bunch of different fronts. You know, Cleveland, Sacramento, San Antonio is interesting. Toronto, maybe Golden State, although I really didn't like that Golden State package. That Golden State package was just like, we'll take your bunch of stuff and then try to trade it to other people for a bunch of stuff. Like, it was never, that's not like anyone I'm interested in at any point. But I'm fine with it. I think if I was doing the negotiations, I'd be worried about feeling like I'm bluffing, being like, we can wait as long as we fucking want, man. I'll wait forever. I'd be like, I don't want to wait. I want to do it. I would like to do it now, please. Like, that would be my panic level concern. But I think I trust Dial to handle it well and better than I would. And there's no reason right now to settle for any lesser offer. No reason at all.
So then, yeah, right now. Like, he knows he's got to do it. Everybody else knows he's got to do it. He might as well you know, go through these motions as best he can. I trust him as much as I would trust anyone to do it. Final thing I have is just a shout out to Landry Shamet, who is now in Phoenix with Dario and Bridges and
Monty Williams.
Yeah. And Monty Williams, like, just, you know, the Suns, one of our teams out there, and it's nice to see Shamet on there. I'm sure he'll do great out there. I thought it was a weird trade, right? I wish Landry Shamet the best. Glad he's
pretty bizarre. The Ricky Rubio trade also kind of bizarre.
Yeah.
Wonder if that means that the Cavs are going to try to trade Sexton. I can't remember if I said this on the podcast or I've just been flooding Sixers Adams text messages with it, but I've become borderline obsessed with getting Larry Nance as the backup center. It is becoming my like pet thing. I think he would be perfect. I would really like him very much. If George Hill for Larry Nance seems to work really nicely. And I would be happy with that. If they want more veteran situations, and if the Sixers, especially if the Sixers re-sign Danny, we don't need Danny and George Hill. Like
that's like the most pre-processed sentence you've ever said.
Why not? We're tinkering. Tinkering is important. We tinkered a little bit better last year. We wouldn't have lost the Hawks in the fucking second round. So yeah. There's guys I'm excited about. Are you trying to go to bed? Should I do my wrap up?
I really gotta go to bed, man.
Wrap up. I feel really good about the draft. I think Daryl has gotten a reputation, rightfully so, for doing a lot of wheeling and dealing, but in two straight years he pretty much stayed put and drafted for value at the spots that he was targeted at. I really like Jaden Springer. I think he's a guy that teams, if they end up doing a big Ben trade and they try to go after Dame or whatever, he's a guy that can play with Ben or also could play alongside Maxey here if they trade Ben for a smaller situation. I just really like the way that, you know, you see a lot of these teams that try to win a championship now, they so quickly, I think Houston did this, so quickly run out of assets. And the Sixers are kind of loaded with them. Like if they are a young, as far as like good, somewhat, you know, top eight teams in the league, whatever, as far as like young players, they have a bunch of intriguing young players that you could pile them together and convince another team, like, you're getting a haul in this way, and we can get more veterans in there, or those guys can develop the way Maxey developed last year, and hopefully will continue. I just think it's a really nice draft. Both of the big men are guys that I had as potential stretch fives that I wanted to target. The fact that he got two and one as a stash is cool. And Aaron Henry is a guy who's one of the best wing defenders in college basketball last year. And if he can work on a shot, then he's extremely playable. And it's good. And we didn't make any bad trades yet. So I'm excited. I'm happy that they got a bunch of guys that I like. Jaden Springer, is going to be cool. I would love to see him and Maxey play together at some point. Would be a fun summer league tandem if Maxey plays summer league. He certainly could. He seems like he's a guy that would want to play. Yeah. I could see the argument that he'd be like, you're too good. Don't risk getting, you know, sick or something by being around so many people. But they're around people anyway, so who knows? I'm happy. I'm happy. It's a good night. I'm pleased. The Sixers, they have killed me and resuscitated me more times than they deserve or that I should have let them. But we're feeling okay. We're feeling okay. Then I won't talk to
you. We'll talk to you this weekend. Are you down with TTP?
Yeah. You? No. Lick face.
If you don't fuck with me, then I won't fuck with you.
If you don't fuck with me,
then I won't fuck with you.
But if you fuck with me,
I'm gonna fucking kill you!
Time for plan B.